Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How'd Coop do with the picks this week? Do we know?
2-1.
Oh, wow.
What? How'd we do?
I believe you went 2-1. I went 1-2. You won the week for one. There you go. You will not win for the season.
Telling me I got a chance.
But you did win this.
Yeah. Did my nice, music, David.
You did a nice job with the Carolina Panthers.
Yes. And who else did I take?
You picked the Bengals, which was a disgusting pick.
What the hell was that mess?
And you picked, for some odd reason, the Arizona Cardinals, and you nailed that one.
Yes! Yes!
I don't know what it was about the Cardinals.
Mariota would play poorly, and he
did. What happened to him? I was really high on him, too.
They're still right there. 8-4 now? 8-5?
Yeah, I think
right
8-5.
Yeah. That'll be a good one. Them and the Jags are going to come down to the
Jags
Titans
are much better.
Jags.
Much better than they are right now.
Nope.
They
Tennessee will bounce back.
Okay.
But just that one week, I knew they wouldn't. I knew it! Negro Damas.
He's back. that didn't go over well. I remember when I said it didn't go over well.
What did you say it?
No, I said it once. I said, you know, people call you Negro Damas, and I remember getting a talking to about that.
Really?
I mean, when Brian says Negro Damas, it's okay. But, you know, when you're when you're calling him Negro Damas,
it doesn't roll off the
tongue. Doesn't sit well. Yeah, it's awkward. You know,
you should probably stay in your lane.
It's uncomfortable. Yes. So,
and you just said it twice. I'm snitching on you.
Yeah.
I'm telling him when our post-mortem after the show, I'm snitching.
But, I mean, is it really me saying it if I'm telling a story about how I shouldn't be saying it?
It came out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose.
Anyway, let me say it, okay?
All right. You All are right. who?
I'm through saying it.
Okay.
The old folks get mad when I say it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep.
I get a little pushback.
Yeah, but you throw
from the older brothers and sisters.
Throw Caucasian around all willy-nilly.
I mean, well, I thought you could still say Caucasian. Apparently you can't. It's hard to keep up with this stuff.
It's good.
I'm Caucasian Damas. Caucasian Damas.
There you go.
Bizarro world at Heinz Field last night between the Ravens and Steelers. I don't know how in the hell this happened. So the Ravens, I'm definitely more shocked by what the Steelers did to that Ravens defense, believe it or not. Because they hadn't given up a 300-yard passer all year, the Ravens.
Right.
And Ben put up 506 on them. And I know how talented they are. Trust me. I know all about the Steelers. But 506 where they hadn't given up a 300-yard passer the entire year. And they were up 30-21 in the game. The Steelers defense, we had seen them sort of fall apart recently because of the Shazier injury and what that does to them. And Joe Hayden getting hurt and changing that secondary. I've seen them do that, and I know that Flacco's capable, but this is the most points that they've ever put up on the Steelers, ever. And, of course, this was the most yardage that they'd given up all year, the Ravens defense, and the Steelers pull it out again with a late Chris Boswell field goal, and this guy has been clutch for them. A very emotional win with Ryan Shazier in the hospital in Pittsburgh, and they FaceTimed him after the game. He tweeted out a video of him in the hospital after the win, smiling with some family members and doctors, which was great to see. So, I mean, this team's on an emotional run, but if they're giving up that type of yardage and points to the Baltimore Ravens at home, then they've got big problems facing them with the New England Patriots coming up next week.
Well, they gave up the runs. They gave up the deep passes. Mike Wallace, of course, comes back, former Pittsburgh Steeler, and he made plays in this ballgame. The running game, that's surprising. Joe Flacco looked like the old Joe Flacco in this ballgame. But you go back to Big Ben, 66 passes. Man, that's more passes than Army had all season. You know, going back to Army and Navy this past weekend, he does that in one ball game. And as Boom and I were discussing prior to the show this morning, you know, your new best friend, the game is different at the NFL level. It's about spreading teams out and chucking it all over the place. And yeah, you would like to have some semblance of a balance, but if you're making hay throwing it, and the Steelers, especially were in that fourth quarter, I mean, Antonio Brown just went, oh, someone cover him, please, if you can. But we know there's been attrition on the back end there for the Ravens, and so you can chalk up some of those huge passes and that much success that Big Ben and Antonio Brown enjoyed to that. But still, you got to cover those guys. And Mike Wallace, he made some big plays for the Ravens and got them back in this ballgame because they were down a number of times, 10, 17 points, and it kept clawing.
It's got to be play design for Antonio Brown, because there's no way that you don't go into a game and say that we'll just let Antonio do his thing and then try to cover anybody else. I think what they do is they create an atmosphere of confusion for defenses and what they should be doing, and then getting Antonio Brown open is a big deal. I mean, the guy had, 146 receiving yards in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he had over 200 again. I don't know how he does.
Well, it's talent, too, though.
It's unbelievable.
You can have all those, what do we say, X's and O's?
And the Jimmys and the Joes.
You talking about a cat with different
skills. Well, I know, but he's example, the one big play in the fourth quarter down the right sideline. He's in one-on-one coverage, and the safety's sort of like floating in the air there. You would think that safety, if Antonio Brown's running a go route in the fourth quarter, he's been torching it the entire time, that the safety would be right on top of him. That can't happen in that spot, but somehow it does. I understand, and when you got two guys on you all the time, no matter how talented you are, you're still not going to go for over 200 yards. He does it almost every week.
Yeah. I mean, you can factor that into it. Sometimes you don't execute the defense in the manner in which it was supposed to be played, and you know Antonio Brown is going to garner more attention than any other receiver. At least he should. And so, play confusion can enter into the equation. But this guy is so talented. I don't care what you draw up. It seems like he's going to always find a way to get open.
Yeah, and we'll see. That'll probably continue for the rest of the year. I mean, but there's no – if you think – all right, and Le'Veon Bell, by the way, you see that hit on his knee, straightened out his leg. I thought that was really bad news for him.
Yeah.
History injuries. He ended up coming back. What a huge deal that was for them. But the rest of what's going on in that Steelers offense is – and I know Juju Smith-Schuster has had some – at a decent run this year, but he was suspended for last night's game. Now, Martavis Bryant hasn't done a damn thing this year. You're talking about whatever that other Eli Rogers, Jesse James, Vance McDonald. Like those are the guys you let beat you.
Right.
But whatever. We'll see how it pans out. But really, it's about that defense and what Tom Brady's going to do to him. But you know what will happen now, right, is you see this game, 39-38, with the Steelers and Ravens, and everybody's expecting next week to be 110-109 between the Steelers and the Pats, and it'll end up being 9-7. That's it always ends up working out that way.
Well, especially defensively, when you give up that many points in a ball game, though you still got the victory, that hurts. That stings. So you're going to go back to the drawing board and you're going to say, hey, we got to make sure we get in lockdown mode and we don't allow that many points again, especially going up against the Patriots. And so I agree. I don't think you'll see as many points scored next week in that ball game as we witnessed last night, because your pride takes a hit, even though you win. But your pride takes a hit because you want to be a force on the defensive side of the ball. And anytime Alex Collins can run through you in the manner in which he did last night, and Flacco can look like the Flacco from their Super Bowl season, that hurts.
Great television in Buffalo yesterday. I wouldn't want to be there. It would have been a worse nightmare for me.
That was horrible.
Tremendous television. It was great television. I mean, it was
funny.
Could
you see the players?
Yeah, no, I could. It was funny. And there was one play in, I believe it was the fourth quarter, where Brissett tries to go to Chester Rogers in the back of the end zone, and he just falls into a pile of snow, and just the snow goes up in the air. I mean, look like little kids.
Now, the snow in Army-Navy was great, and by the way, that was an excellent game. That was enough snow. That was fun. Yesterday there in Buffalo, that's too much damn snow. That is not fun.
Former player, but for someone watching, it was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst that it got. I'm surprised, though, at halftime, they made sure that the sidelines, so you knew where the out-of-bounds markers were, and then the lines, you knew exactly where you were on the field in the end zone. But I'm surprised that they didn't have some sort of, give me a name of a truck that's got some sort of plow, some big plow, like a John Deere thing, that at halftime they went and cleared
it. Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't either.
Like, take a little bit. Like,
but maybe snowing somebody's like, hey, this is going to be a fool's errand.
Yeah, but, I mean, instead of having, what, 12 inches on the ground and have 8 inches on the ground. I mean, if you could save that. But I'm happy they didn't because I thought it was cool. I absolutely loved it.
And then you had all the linemen there for the Vinatieri
extra point.
They were cleaning the path. And going back to the Army-Navy game, they were trying to clear a path for their kick. And they were using the contraption that you use to clean your cleats.
Yep.
And the refs, I was like, you can't do that. I'm watching this, of course, from the studio. I was like, you can't use utensils out there to clear
utensils.
A path.
Spork.
Finally, the refs caught notice of it, but it was too late. They'd already cleared the path. You can't do that. It's just wrong. And then yesterday you saw the lineman trying to clear that path, and it worked.
Yeah, it did, at least on that particular play. And that game should have never gone to overtime because first you had a two-point conversion, Brissett to Doyle, that ended up getting called back because of penalty. So then you had the Vinatieri extra point, and then the pick, the terrible throw from Joe Webb gets picked off, and then Vinatieri has a chance to win it in regulation with a 43-yard attempt. Couldn't get that done, so Vinatieri's getting all the credit for the extra point. He really just should have missed that. I'm sure everybody would have been happy with a regulation game. And then Shady McCoy gets the touchdown run. But I can't – what is it like trying to get out of that game? Like, are they that diligent with snow removal that –
You would think in Buffalo.
But the fans don't have a problem getting out of there? Or do they go to the parking lot and their cars are just – snowed in for good.
That's true.
You got to bring a shovel to the game with you.
Yeah, yeah. You're probably right. That snow
is hell on earth. It really is.
Come on, let's move to Buffalo.
I mean, the lake effect snow is no joke, man.
No.
It just dumps on you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that parking lot was a mess, and people probably were stuck for hours.
Yeah, I forget.
If not for probably spent the night there.
I know that Tasker was doing sidelines. I forget who was doing color on CBS for that game, but he said we should take a poll as to how many of these players want to go to overtime right now and see if should they end it now. I mean, it gets to a point, I'm sure, where enough is enough.
Right, yeah, of course. That's why I said those type of conditions are not fun. You hate freezing cold, and then that amount of snow, that is just so difficult, and that's not fun. Army-Navy, that amount of snow, that was fun. This, no fun.
Yeah, what was the most amount of snow you ever played in?
Never in a game. Frozen fields, yes, but never really had to deal with a ton of snow. As a kid, you loved it. You'd go out there and you'd run around and play in it after the game went off, but never. I don't think in college either did I have a game. Some cold ones, but never snow like that.
What adjective would you use to describe your NFL career? Because I was put in that position this weekend.
To describe yours?
No, to describe yours.
Oh, and what did you use? I always say just nondescript. It was live the dream, but that's it.
Yeah.
Unfulfilling.
Unfulfilling.
And that's of my own volition.
I like that.
Because by the time I figured it out, I kept getting hurt.
I think I gave you too much credit.
Oh, damn. Let me hear this.
Marginal.
Okay. Cool.
See,
like that.
Marginal.
That's good.
Marginal's better than probably
I
want
no was. Punk bitch. I wasn't.
You didn't try, though. That's the problem.
I did at the end.
At the end, but you didn't try in the beginning.
That's what I said. Once I figured it out and learned how to be a pro, that's when I kept getting hurt. Yeah.
I have a couple names that always get me. Last time we had this guy, is it Quadri or Kadri?
Hell, I don't know. He was a teammate. I don't even know how to.
Kadri. It's Kadri.
It's
not
Kadri.
Not Quadri.
Quadri.
Kadri. Q.
Q. That's what I called him. Yeah, Q.
Ishmael.
Yep.
Ishmael.
Mm-hmm. Ishmael.
Speaking of getting hurt, he hooked me up with one of the best chiropractors I ever had.
That's right. We talked about that last time.
When we were teammates, yeah.
You know who's teammates with him now?
Who?
Andrew Pogish.
Why? How?
They've called games together recently.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
What type of games?
Football games.
Really?
What do you think Kadri Ishmael's doing? Calling field hockey?
He might. Very talented. Mm. From the Q. Oh, the Qs. Right? Didn't he go to Syracuse? Yeah. Went to Syracuse.
Kadri Ishmael.
And so he and Bogus are buddies?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to talk to Q about that.
That's right.
That sucks.
Coming up next.
We have Q? Or
we
Quadri?
Do. We've got Bogus.
Kadri.
And then we'll welcome in his favorite black broadcaster.
Oh, damn.
Kadri Ishmael. Right?
You think that's his favorite?
I don't know. I'm just trying to say Kadri Ismail as much as I can before he comes on.
Kadri.
Because I know I'll just mess it up.
I've never called
him. If I'm in a room with Kadri Ismail and Mark Schlereth at the same time, my face is going to melt off my skull.
Mark Schlereth.
It's just
it's easy.
That's what I sound like when I try to say it. Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, your pronunciation is marginal.
Yeah, yes. Well, thank you. It's better than nondescript, I guess. We're coming right back.
Keep up with the latest on the show on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Q, come on. Tell the truth.
Wait a second. Say that again.
Q, come on.
Mama's baby, daddy's maybe.
Mm-hmm.
6'7".
Yeah.
And what's he?
6 feet, if that.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Who's his ex-wife? Lisa Leslie? We got to ask him about that.
Yeah,
huh?
I thought it was that milkman. Mm-hmm.
All right. Who do you like better overall, Brian or Kadri? Overall rating.
Well, I've known Brian for longer. So
it's not what I asked.
Right. Brian, for
okay.
now.
Oh, of course.
For now.
For now.
Maybe okay. For now.
Who's the person that you'd be more likely to bring to your house and introduce to your family?
Kadri.
Okay. What? Wait.
Who's?
Whoa. What's up with that, dog?
Next question.
Who's the person you'd feel the best about telling a secret to?
Kadri.
I wouldn't put your business in the street.
Who would I feel more protected with walking through a bad neighborhood? Brian.
Why?
You're bigger than him.
Which way are you going to run? I just want to know so I don't run over you.
If your daughter was older than she is and right. was dating.
I don't like this question at all. In any,
who would you rather have show up at the door?
You're going to say none of the above.
Kadri.
Kadri again.
What?
My daughter's 6 and a half, and she gave me, "You're ruining my life" yesterday.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Well, are you?
I don't think so, but maybe.
What?
Yeah.
Those are tough, man. I hear stuff like that.
Yeah.
These kids, they get to a certain age, they say these things, man, it's like a dagger. Like a dagger in the heart.
And what was your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, she went stomping away, crying, "You're ruining my life," because she was being bad, and I told her to stop. And I gave her like 2 minutes, and I went and talked to her, and she was a little pouty. But then at bedtime, we were friends again.
Okay.
She made me read her I Love My Daddy book, so we were all right.
All's well that ends well.
Ooh, see, man, wish my grandma would have been like that. I wish I had said, "You're ruining my life, old woman."
What would I have done?
Okay, I'm going to show you. Go get that switch.
I'm trying to think now, since it's going to be soon that I'm going to be in that club.
What are you going to do?
You're ruining my life. Yep.
Exactly.
No, my response, "You've already ruined mine." That'll be my response.
Yep, there you go.
No, I'm kidding. It won't.
No, it should.
Me a better
Keep
father
it real.
Than that. If I could be half the father that Bogus is.
Yeah.
Mm. Bogus is a good dad.
I'm all right.
He's a good dad.
Right.
At least judging by his Instagram, I could tell he's a good dad.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I'm not there, but it looks like he's a good dad via social media.
I show well.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, you ruin your kid's life behind the scenes. I don't see that post. I don't see that one. All right, Bogus, what do you got for us?
Well, boys, the Eagles are NFC East champs after a thrilling and potentially devastating 43-35 win at the Rams in the third quarter of the back-and-forth affair. Carson Wentz took a big hit, diving into the end zone for a touchdown. At the moment, the worst part of the play was a holding penalty negating the score, but the hit might have torn Wentz's left ACL. Nick Foles will start instead.
I'm absolutely ready. I mean, that's why I'm here. So I'm ready to go, prepare every day, work every day, so I'm ready to go.
The Eagles apparently holding out hope the ACL is not completely torn, further testing today for a full diagnosis. And then there is Jets QB Josh McCown, who
broke his left hand
and then broke his heart yesterday in Denver.
So thankful they let me be a part of this team, and we'll see what happens, but you know, if I can finish, I'd love to finish, and we'll see what the tests say.
He's always crying, man. He's always crying.
Maybe you go back to porn, man. What are you doing? You broke your damn hand.
So thankful they let me be a part of this team.
Why?
What?
Because no one else would?
Yeah, I know. This is one of the most nondescript seasons in Jets history.
Who is this guy?
You're like, why are you so happy to be a part of it?
Damn!
If anything, you were too good to help out the franchise.
I can understand they're on a championship run, and then you're lost.
He just cries, man. This guy cries. Cried in Tampa. Remember him crying in Tampa? They lost like six in a row or something ridiculous. He was up at the podium crying.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he does need to go back to porn. Toughen him up a little bit, man. You know?
That's what porn is a lot like.
So if those tests and McCown is done for the year, would Bryce Petty or Christian Hackenberg start?
I wonder if he relapsed after the game.
Hey, look at her. Look at her doing.
What's Josh doing in the corner?
No! No! Put down the phone!
What? Oh! Where am I?
6 years clean! Right down to two.
If I was a teammate and I knew of this, I would put stuff in the lockers.
Of course you would. This is why he takes cadre at every one of us.
Put something in his playbook. Help him relapse.
Oh, man. So, again, the question then to Todd Bowles, is it Bryce Petty or is it Christian Hackenberg?
It would be Bryce.
He's so excited. Petty relieved McCown yesterday.
Mikey B with a great joke. He said, the worst injury possible for Josh McCown's a broken hand.
But this is his non-throwing hand.
Yeah, well, that's disgusting.
Well, I mean, he's going to have a lot of time to look at those adult movies now that he loves.
Oh, it's a lady.
That he loves so much. Mm-hmm. He's going to have a lot of time on his hand or with his hand. Oh, good luck.
That's part of the rehab, the therapy, get back, strengthen his That's what the trainer told me.
All right, now what you need to do is play with yourself 3-4 times a day. And get that strength back in that hand. You'll be throwing a football in no time.
You want to get back faster? Here's a tip.
Okay, fine with me. That's brutal. Okay.
Y'all are bad.
The Steeler win streak is 8 after a wild Sunday night football. Pittsburgh led Baltimore 14-0, trailed by 11 starting the fourth, then won 39-38 on Chris Boswell's 46-yard field goal with 42 seconds left. The victory clinches the AFC North for the Steelers. The Patriots can win the East and keep pace with Pittsburgh at 11-2 on Monday night football in Miami. Giancarlo Stanton could be officially unveiled as a Yankee this afternoon after undergoing his physical this weekend here in New York. And Jack Morris and Alan Trammell, Hall of Famers, after voting from the Hall of Fame's Modern Era Committee. Boys?
All right, thanks, Bogish. And joining us right now, a Bogish buddy, Kadre Ismael, who is someone who has worked with Bogish. He's an NFL analyst, former Ravens wide receiver. He's a color analyst for college sports broadcasts, and he's also a former Brian Jones teammate as well, right?
Yep.
So this guy's got a lot of connections to Gio and Jones. Kadre, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I am running on fumes after my post-game show ended last night. As always, wow. Those nights are kind of long, and mother of pearl didn't help that we had a thrilling game that ended in a Ravens defeat.
Yeah, I am shocked. And I give you credit for waking up and being on with us after that.
No,
it is not easy.
Wow, Q, you are committed, man.
Yeah, seriously.
No, I'm not committed. I almost just said the hell with both of y'all.
You probably should have.
You should have. Yeah. I know I would have.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
You must be crazy.
Do you want to go now? I'll give you an out right now. Do you want to go?
Hey, if y'all hear me snore, then you'll know.
Well, did you see that coming last night? Because I don't think anybody did between those two teams.
I've seen it all as far as the Ravens and the Steelers and how many times they've played such tight games, but you're absolutely right. Never in my wildest dreams would I have thought, oh yeah, the Ravens, you know, they're coming off a 44-point performance against Detroit. They're going to go into Pittsburgh and they're going to do darn near just as close as they can to repeat that performance and they're going to lose. Normally when the Ravens, especially offensively, puts up, you know, that amount of points, you would think that they would come away with a victory, but that was just another classic Ravens Steelers rival game, especially at Pittsburgh. And it just, it continues to baffle my mind, but that's the way these games have gone.
That is true. Did you think Alex Collins could run for as many yards? I think he was 120 is what he ended up with, and had some excellent runs, breaking through tackles along the sideline. Did you think he could have as much effect on that Steelers defense as he did last night?
No, I was somewhat surprised. I mean, I've seen him be effective as far as getting the big play down the football field, you know, via the run. In some games where, you know, maybe the defense just didn't get the right fit on the offensive line, there was a crease and you could just see his acceleration. But what impressed me last night was definitely another level in regarding his ability to just be strong and break that initial tackle, or just simply, you know, the speed in which he was able to turn the corner for all four quarters. And, you know, it's a testament to him how he has grown as a runner. And I think he continues to show that he is by far the Ravens' big play threat on offense.
Joe Flacco looks back at least the last couple of weeks. What have been some of the reasons that allowed him to play much better than we saw early on in the season?
You know, I think part of Joe missing training camp was his back. I think that he was extremely rusty in the beginning of the year. I think he's getting a lot better, you know, this late in the year, which is what you need. But, you know, I obviously last night what we saw as far as the fourth quarter, just the offense not able to respond. They did have the one touchdown, but, you know, as far as just answering the call of what Pittsburgh did in the fourth quarter compared to, you know, what, you know, the Ravens did. I thought that, you know, he looked good, but there's still, you know, just something there that I think is holding them back from really being an upper-tier team.
Well, you look at this defense for Baltimore. They've been carrying this football team all season long, and then last night the offense puts up 38 points, and they still can't get a victory versus the Steelers. What was their problem? I know Antonio Brown, and we were discussing earlier, you know, it's X's and O's and making sure you're trying to cause some confusion back there and find some openings to get him to rock, but he's got a ton of talent as well, and I know that's the guy when you have that installation meeting early in the week that you circle, don't allow him to beat you, but yet he had over 200 yards receiving.
Yeah, that one right there is what troubles me because, you know, Brandon Carr pretty much was abused all game. I don't even, you know, it's not even funny. It's just like, wow, I was surprised because, you know, he had up until that point really done a good job, not a great job, but a really, you know, good job against some good receivers. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, you know, a few weeks back when the Ravens played them, he kind of put on a clinic, if you will. So I knew that, you know, just watching that film, you could easily say that Antonio would be looking at chops, thinking that, you know what, okay, I can get this done. And, you know, obviously defensively in a passing attack, I mean, basically it's can we get to the quarterback and can we hold up in coverage? One helps the other. And if you can get to the quarterback, it makes you look like a hero as far as in the secondary. And if you can cover, then it makes you look like a hero as far as the defensive front getting to the quarterback. So neither one of them did a good enough job against Ben Roethlisberger, and Antonio Brown's just too good of a receiver to be held back.
Gio and Jones with Kadri Ismail on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish, our update anchor, who's worked with you before, was telling us about your son, who is apparently a 6'7 quarterback. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. He has done a fine job of having some fine breast milk when he was a baby. That dude just kept on eating, kept on growing, and now here we are. Dude is legitimately 6'7".
Now, is his mama tall?
Yeah, his mom is tall. His mom is, she played basketball at Syracuse, and, mm-hmm. She's 6'4".
Okay.
Okay.
There you go. All right.
It's Brian Woods.
I was a little concerned. Very cute. I was like, now, you know, mama's baby, daddy's maybe.
You know? Hey, man. No. I'm kind of like one of them dudes where, you know, the DNA passed on down too. Don't feel like, you know, it just, he's just tall and just, that's it. I mean.
You played a role too, right?
That's right. You know, just raising them up all nice and, hey, boy, you're getting up at 6 a.m. We're going to go ahead and do these. These push-ups and Ivan Drago. Come on, let's do it.
Brian and I had a disagreement this morning about the Eagles' ability to continue to have a great season with Nick Foles. Brian thinks they're going to be able to be just fine and maybe still even get to the Super Bowl, which many people expect them to do with Carson Wentz. With that Wentz injury, what do you see the future for the Eagles being?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. But I do recognize what Brian is saying. There's always the eternal optimist, and, you know, that's where he gets into trouble. It's okay, Brian. It's okay. No, seriously, I do like, you know, the fact that, you know, Nick has played, though, in some big games. I mean, that's kind of what you want. You want your backup to not flinch. You don't want your backup to be sitting there, you know, wide-eyed. Hey, we got a great team. Oh, God, it's my turn. You know, he looks like, you know, Nick Foles, who we've seen a few years back. And, you know, I think he has enough talent around him. You know, but what Carson did, you know, like what we just saw in the beginning of the game where, you know, the tip pass that gets intercepted, and next thing you know, the Rams go down the field and score. So, you know, you just see the composure of Carson, and that's what I think helps him be such, you know, a great catalyst for this offensive team and yeah, but Nick, you know, I think that he just needs to be him, and I think you know, Doug Peterson is going to have his ultimate coaching job as far as the mental game and making sure guys are ready to support Nick if in fact this is as devastating of an ACL injury as everyone is reporting.
Kadri, thanks for the time this morning. We'll let you get back to bed. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Q.
Fellas, don't ever call me again.
If we're going to call you, just don't answer. How about that?
Right. It's your fault, really, more than ours, isn't it?
Man, don't even try to put it back on me. See, I try to do that Jedi mind trick. Not working.
All right, there he goes. Country Ismail on Gio and Jones. It's an interesting dude.
Yeah, he's different. He and his brother Rocket, they're both different.
Planet
played
Q.
With both of those guys.
Did you?
Yeah, Rocket like with better? The Raiders. Well, Q and I had more of a relationship. And then Rocket did a little television with us over on the cable side, CBS Sports Network.
Was he not good?
Nah. No.
Wasn't good?
In the booth. He was in the booth. And so
didn't work out.
Didn't work out. Just like it didn't work out for me.
You think you'd be better at it now, though?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be better now.
I feel like you'd be much better at it now.
Oh, I agree. But I like what I'm doing. Yeah.
Okay. In the studio you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Dig the studio.
You go glasses every week now.
I got tired of taking them off.
Yeah,
I was. You're on camera, and you're off camera, especially when you're doing the highlights. And I would use them to read the shot sheet, and then your director says coming back on camera, and so you're snatching them off, and you're getting caught. So I'm like, hell with it. I'll just leave them on. So I just leave them on, so I can see what I'm reading.
Yeah,
when I'm reading.
Right.
Yes.
That wasn't like a decision made by wardrobe at CBS.
No. No.
That was all you.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Input on that.
Just making sure.
No.
Just making sure. Crazy. All right. Coming up next, the hottest team in the NFL.
Cowboys!
No.
Oh.
Just that. We're coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I was worried for the Chargers.
Why?
Well, I thought, you know, someone who's that close to you getting a head coaching job, I mean, it just could be tough.
Why is it going to be tough? I don't have that that ability to kill people off like you.
I don't know. I was concerned. I said, Brian Jones, a close friend of Brian Jones, going to be an NFL head coach. Wow. I mean, I hope he doesn't have all the bad habits Brian has. Then we're in big, big trouble out there in L.A. So And then they got
a few of them.
They got it's like some of the off the air conversation. I was like, uh-oh. So this is not going to end well. So, and then they got off to the 0-4 start, and I said, yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I hate that because I really liked him when he was in here, but yep. I just saw it coming. But now look at them.
Look at me now.
Those SOBs are the hottest team in football.
What are they, 7-2 in their last nine?
That's right. They were 0-4, now they're 7-6.
Yeah.
And, boy, are they playing well on both sides of the ball. Just incredible. Phillip Rivers is just...
Looks great,
yeah,
man.
He really does.
He looks great.
And Keenan Allen, good for him, coming off last year and missed basically the entire season with a torn ACL. And he's back to being one of the best wide receivers in football. Big play to Tyrell Williams. Yesterday, Hunter Henry was looking. I mean, they pulled Rivers and basically their entire offense right in the early portion of the fourth quarter yesterday because it was such a blowout.
And now they'll have a big one in a rematch with KC on a short week. I believe they play on Saturday, which is stupid. I believe it's Saturday, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they've been riding high, and this will be a huge one if they can get this one on the road. And you know, they've got that inside track to getting to the playoffs, and it'd be a hell of a turnaround starting 0-4. And in those games, they were in them. Those were close losses at the beginning of the season, and they have definitely turned things around, playing some outstanding defense. And offensively, as you just mentioned, Rivers has been great. Keenan Allen has been outstanding. A lot of deep passes yesterday versus White. Josh Norman didn't even like he wanted to play at times. What is he doing?
I know. That team's falling apart. And I think that Jake Rudin's days are numbered there. Because they just did, they look non-competitive right now. Yeah. And they came back and had that unbelievable performance against the Seahawks and came back in that game. And then since then, they just haven't been able to overcome all their injuries. And that's a tough game to win, too, going across the country against that team. But they were just not totally non-competitive. And that game against the Chiefs, I mean, the Chiefs have offensively figured it out the last couple of weeks, no doubt, with Alex Smith playing better and finally Kareem Hunt had another decent game. It was the first time in like 7 weeks that
first touchdown in about 7 weeks, right?
And he completely fell off the face of the earth, and he looked better yesterday. So their offense has, since Andy Reid has given up the play calling duties, their offense has gotten back on track. But I like the Chargers so much better because of their defense. I mean, their defense is just, they've got big-time players on that defense. Of course, we talk about the two pass rushers in Ingram and Bosa, and Casey Hayward is a top five corner in the NFL. I mean, this is a team that is primed to be right there in the AFC postseason. I like them out of all the teams in the AFC. I mean, as a solid three in the conference. I put them ahead of the Jaguars. I like them much better than the Jaguars.
Yeah, I would definitely put them ahead of the Jaguars right now. And up front, I mean, they play so well. You mentioned the bookends with Ingram and Bosa and where they can get after quarterbacks. And that secondary is playing extremely well. I remember Anthony telling me his big concern coming into the season was the safety position. And so there were some current concerns with that secondary. But right now, and over these last 7-8 weeks, man, they've been really playing tough D and winning the close ball games and blowing out others, like as they did yesterday.
Yeah, Eli's got to be looking around going, man, like you got Ben throwing for 500 yards. You got Phillip Rivers, the quarterback of the hottest team in football. And then he's stuck with that garbage that's going on right now. He hasn't played all that well, but he's still been...
Couple picks yesterday, and the Cowboys, especially in that second half, Dak Prescott, all those people who were saying he couldn't get it done, apologized because he looked great yesterday, moving the ball around. That one pass there in the fourth quarter to Jason Witten, beautiful pass over the middle. That's the pros make those type of passes, and that was a hell of a pass and catch there. Got the ball to the running backs. He was sharing the rock a ton. But the biggest difference is you see how Sean Lee, how he solidifies that defense. And having him out there, even though the Giants were moving the ball at times, just having him out there, that's a huge, huge help to those cats on the D.
Yeah, but they're not going to make the playoffs.
Man, you crazy.
They're not.
They are going to make it.
Who's going to fall apart?
They got a few teams to jump, but they're going to make it.
Who's going to fall apart then?
Let's see.
Because they went out, they're only going to be 10-6.
Right.
Same thing with the Packers.
Yep.
So I don't know what the tiebreaker situation is with them.
Falcons will fall apart.
Okay, then what about the Panthers? Because that's a wild card team.
Panthers will fall apart too.
So you got, both of those teams now falling apart.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So that means you got the Seahawks in and
the Falcons and the Falcons. They hit, Falcons and the Panthers have another one together, don't they? Don't they have to hook up again?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But so the one of them is going to get a win, so that's going to not be good for you.
I know. I was thinking of that.
So you got the Seahawks and the Cowboys in, huh? It's the wild cards.
And the Cowboys have to play the Seahawks. Is it this week or 2 weeks? I know they
You're
got
the Cowboys
them.
Fan.
I know they got them. So
Falcons end the season against the Panthers.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yep. You got
done it.
So you got the Raiders. You'll beat the Raiders.
Beat the Raiders.
Then you got the Seahawks going to Dallas on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
4:25 p.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, excuse me. Then the Cowboys
it with
and
the Eagles.
Yep.
At Philly. Just like they did last year, they closed it.
At Philly.
Hmm.
They've got no shot.
They got a shot.
It's over,
they
man.
They got a shot.
Especially with this Nick Foles, who you think is the next coming of Brett Favre.
I did not say that.
So they got no
shot. He puts words in my mouth.
You got no shot with Foles
playing. They have a
shot. Against the Cowboys, there's no way.
Shot. They're going to win two of those three, and something else is going to happen, and the Cowboys will get in.
Something else
because
is going to happen.
Because that's America's team.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You watch. Just as easy as that, huh? I am not good at
rough.
Deciding when bad teams are going to play well again. I can't do that. Usually, I can't figure that out. And I did it again in my picks.
Broncos?
Yeah.
Jets.
So I did it again.
I'm with you.
And we talked about McCown and that whole thing. But, I mean, Simeon comes out and plays that well.
Yeah.
And then the defense, too. They were awful.
Shut them out.
I didn't think that they were capable.
I'm with you. I thought they've been called soft. They've been called a number of things over the last 6-7 weeks. And they come out and they play like the old Broncos. They play like the Broncos played versus the Cowboys earlier in the year.
Yeah. So are they going to be a live team down the stretch that could hurt teams' playoff chances if they even I'm sure they have a decent division game down the stretch, if not a
so they're playing
couple.
Spoiler now.
Well, that's basically all, I mean if they're going to turn around, they got the Chiefs the last week of the season. Broncos Colts on Thursday night. Mm.
Ugh. You're looking forward to that.
Oh my
come on.
God.
That's going to be great. Broncos and Colts?
They need to put that on some other network.
Didn't you?
Like the game show network or something. You can't put that on a regular television
yes,
show.
You can.
Broncos, Colts on a Thursday night?
I can't wait.
You know, I can because I'm going right to bed on that game. I think I'm staying up for that thing.
You going to watch the highlights the next morning?
No. I'm not even going to do that. What's the point?
You don't want to see Frank Gore?
No.
Couldn't even see him yesterday. It was so much snow.
Yeah, I know. But I don't have. There's not a what part of that football game is interesting.
Jacoby
to you?
Brissett.
Stop it! I'm serious.
Well, I'm serious
now.
Too.
You've seen plenty of Brissett.
Von
this
Miller.
Year. Von Miller.
Yes.
Okay.
Aqib Talib. He may start a fight. You may miss it.
That is one that all right.
He may shank someone.
I'll give you that one.
Okay.
You're telling me that Aqib Talib shanks a Colt?
Yes.
Then I'm in.
It was a possibility.
It don't matter how I went. He tried to do something dirty, so that's why I'm going to beat his ass.
All right.
That's right. He may beat somebody's ass.
A Talib shanking.
Okay.
But that's not enough for me to actually sit there and watch the game.
That's how they should promote it. Make sure you tune in. There may be a shanking.
But we're going to hide a homemade shank somewhere in the stadium, and Aqib Talib has to find it and stab somebody.
It's merely a flesh wound.
That would be awesome. All right, coming up next, concussion protocol.
Ugh.
Working, not working? I think we know the answer to that. A scary situation with the Houston Texans yesterday. It's Gio and Jones. Keep right here, CBS Sports Radio.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.